Hey there, it's David Chen here.
And Renee Wade. And welcome to another session of Attraction Control Insights, where we interview leading experts in the field of dating and relationships.
You see, here's the thing. In the many years that we've been teaching, coaching, and helping women, we've realized that there's no faster way to make progress than to have multiple perspectives from people who are the leaders of their field.
And this is why we've found the best experts to share with us their knowledge and experience in finding love, triggering attraction, establishing that loyalty and trust, and frankly, having the relationship that other people envy.
So we really think you're going to enjoy this interview. I suggest you sit back, take some notes, and let's get started. Hello everyone, David here, and today I have the privilege of interviewing David Steele, who is an author, a coach, and a licensed marriage and family therapist for over 20 years. He's the founder of the Relationship Coaching Institute and has trained hundreds of relationship coaches since 1997. He's the creator of Conscious Dating, the book, and Conscious Dating Relationship Success Program for Singles, which is a structured step-by-step workshop and coaching program that has helped thousands of singles find the love of your life and the life that you love. And one of the things that I love about David's work is that he's a firm believer of not settling in your relationship, because I think so many people in this world today feel like they'd rather be in a bad relationship than being alone. So I really think David's message here is so appropriate and so needed in this world where there are just so many terrible relationships. So David, are you there?
Yes, Dave, thanks for having me.
No, thank you for being here. It's really my pleasure to have you, you know, share with us your thoughts and your experience in this matter. I mean, you've been a marriage and family therapist for 20 years, so I assume that you've seen a lot of different things. Is that correct?
Well, I actually burned out as a couples therapist because I work mainly with couples in trouble.
Yep.
And, you know, more than half would get divorced anyway. So, you know, so by the time they are in enough trouble to see a therapist,
yep.
You know, one or both of them really want out. I mean, you know, they just want the pain to go away.
Yep.
And they don't really think it can be fixed. So I really got tired of that because I like success.
Yeah.
I like to help people have fulfilling and happy relationships.
Yep.
And it just was not working as a therapist. So that's why I became a relationship coach. I'd much rather help people achieve
yes.
their goal of a relationship when they're single
yeah.
rather than trying to fix a broken one when they're in it.
No, I totally understand. I would almost feel like, you know, that there, you would probably feel like there's no hope for a lot of these couples when you were, you know, helping their marriage, whatnot, when they just want to get out.
Right. It really drove home to me that the opportunity to make a long-term choice of relationship, a good long-term choice, the most effective long-term choice, mm-hmm. is when you're single. Mm-hmm. Yet when we're single, all we can think about is, I don't want to be single. I want to be in a relationship.
Yes, I totally understand. I think a lot of people feel that way, and they feel like they look at other people in relationships and they go, wow, I want to be sort of in that relationship right there. But then they don't realize all the challenges that come up once you're in a relationship. And I know you have a lot of philosophies around that in terms of compatibility, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But
right, so, and there are a lot of singles that, you know, they're afraid of relationships, and
yep.
they see relationship failure all around them. They've experienced it themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really know how to have a great relationship.
Then yep.
they kind of think it might not even be possible.
Yep.
So people are really nowadays, they're waiting much longer to get married,
uh-huh.
and the marriage rate is actually going down,
yep.
and the cohabitation rate is going way up.
Yep.
And so people are living together rather than being in committed relationships, you know, because they do want relationships, but
yep.
they don't want to be stuck with somebody that is not right for them. And that's totally understandable.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So my first question really is, how did you get into all of this? I mean, did you want to be a marriage and family therapist from the start, or, you know, what got you into it?
Well, thanks for the question. I did get a kind of an early start because, you know, I grew up in a single-parent family. My parents divorced when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very unhappy with each other and individually. And it was just really not a great childhood. Uh-huh. And so I grew up wanting to understand, you know, what this was all about. Mm-hmm. And probably the, you know, the biggest saving grace was when I realized that it wasn't my fault. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. you know, kids in that situation, oftentimes they blame themselves or they yeah. think something's wrong with them.
For sure.
But I did realize that, you know, hey, you know, it's really not my fault. You know, my parents screwed this up, not me. Mm. And but it left me wondering, okay, well, I see how not to do it. but how can you have a successful relationship?
It's a good question, isn't it?
How can you have a happy marriage? So I grew up not having it, and I really, really, really wanted it for myself.
Yes.
And I made it my life's work to help other people do it as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fantastic. And it's one of those things that you mentioned before, you got, you know, pretty burnt out and depressed about seeing all these couples breaking up, and they were going to break up anyway. There was hardly anything that you could do to convince them otherwise. It's almost like that that quote, you know, if you want to be rich, don't study poor people. Or if you want to be healthy, don't study sick people.
Right, yeah, exactly. And, you know, really, I think I had a bit of a shift because I started out wanting to be a hero, uh-huh. wanting to save marriages. After 20 years of beating my head up against the wall, realizing I can't save anybody's marriage if they don't want to save it.
That's right. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. They have to have that desire. In fact, perhaps you probably agree with this. For some people, the marriage or staying in that marriage is actually the wrong thing to do or the bad thing to do.
Well, you know, it's really hard for us to judge.
Yep.
There's arguments on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, there's this great book called The Case for Marriage. Mm-hmm. And there's some research in there that studied unhappy couples. Mm-hmm. And the study showed that unhappy couples that stayed together for at least 5 years.
Yep.
That over, I forget the percentage, over 65 or 70% or something like that, uh-huh. ended up being happy or very happy 5 years later.
Is that right?
And so the surprising, you know, fact uh-huh. from that research is that if you stick it out long enough, chances are you'll end up being happy later.
Interesting.
And, you know, I think the reasoning or the logic is pretty simple that, you know, hey, things change. Things never stay the same.
That's true.
So if all you do is stick it out, mm-hmm. you know, it could be better. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance that it will be better.
Okay,
but
yeah.
also there's a fairly equal chance that it won't.
So it's hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what we tend to do as human beings is that we get used to our lifestyles and our, you know, our habits. So if someone is really, you know, getting on our nerve for a long period of time, after a while, we get used to that and we become okay with it. We become, you know, okay with living our lives. Would that be a factor in this?
Well, you know, I see a lot of people that get into a routine or a rut and they just adjust to it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they adjust to it forever.
Okay, yeah.
And yet I see other people, and it seems to be human nature that, you know, we can only live with the status quo for so long. Mm-hmm. We have an inner drive or an inner need for change or to make things better.
Yeah.
Or to move on.
Yep.
So maybe there's two kinds of people in the world, the ones that just turn their brain off and turn their desire off and just, you know, stay in a rut forever, and there's others, and I count myself in this category, that, mm-hmm. you know, we just really need things to improve. We need things to move, and we can't hang out in misery forever.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and I'm totally in the second group as well. I can't stand status quo. I simply cannot stand it. In fact, it is my belief that if something's not getting better, it's getting worse. There is no static level of goodness.
Yeah, you know, Dave, you know, as long as we're on this subject, mm-hmm. one of the biggest questions I get as yep. a relationship coach
yep.
from somebody that is not quite sure about their relationship, or they're in an unhappy relationship, or they're dating somebody and they're not sure if this is the one, and mm-hmm. they have a few issues. The biggest question by far is, and I paraphrase it because they ask it in different ways.
Yes.
But it comes down to this. Should I stay or should I go?
Yes. Yes, I totally.
It's like the bottom line question. Is this the right relationship for me? Should I stay or should I go?
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody is married, they are in a committed relationship, they have made that lifelong commitment.
Yep.
They have kids. They have made a vow.
Mm-hmm.
Then in my mind, the answer is a bit different from like somebody that's a dating couple or mm-hmm. they're just living together.
Yeah.
Because if you have made a commitment, according to that research study in the book, The Case for Marriage, you know, you have a 70% chance of being happy 5 years later if you just stick it out.
I see.
If you work on your relationship.
Yeah.
So I am an advocate of, you know, make it work if you can. Don't mm-hmm. just run away. Just mm-hmm. don't walk away, you know, because you will have regrets.
Yes.
You know, you will look back on it and kick yourself if you didn't do everything you could do.
Yes.
Because when you get a divorce and you walk away from a committed relationship, you know, your life doesn't automatically get better.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, you know, you have less pain and life can be a bit easier, but your life can never go back the way it was.
That's true,
never.
Too. Yeah. No.
I mean, I've been divorced twice.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time, it was like devastating. I wanted to be married for life.
Yeah, you probably felt you failed.
And after I got divorced, it's like, okay, well, I can never have that dream ever. Because now I've been divorced.
Yes.
And then when I got divorced a second time, I was really kicking myself and saying, man, I'm a failure. You know, I really can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
There is something seriously wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so here I am. I'm divorced twice. I can't go back.
Mm, no.
And so there's a serious consequence. And it doesn't mean don't do it, but it does mean that give it every chance possible.
Yep.
And chances are, you know, there are some things you can do that you haven't done. As a therapist, I would hear it all the time. You know, we've tried everything.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what? No, they haven't. And
they probably just tried a couple of little things over and over and over, and knowing that it doesn't work, they still try it. And most people sort of get caught in that pattern, and they can't get out of it.
Yeah, so the truth is,
mm-hmm.
when a relationship isn't working like that,
mm-hmm.
One of my mentors calls it a clash of immaturities.
Okay.
And you know what? That's absolutely true,
mm-hmm.
that the undeveloped part of me is clashing with the undeveloped part of you. And you know what?
That's perfect.
Once we develop, then we won't have that problem anymore.
That's perfect because, I totally agree with you.
And that really does illustrate that a relationship has a function.
Mm-hmm.
And the function is to help the people grow up in the relationship.
Absolutely.
So it's a strong argument for making it work every which way you can if you are in a committed relationship.
I absolutely agree with you.
When you apply that same question
mm-hmm.
to what I call pre-committed relationships,
mm-hmm.
meaning they're exclusive, but they're not yet committed.
Not married, is that what you mean?
Well, committed. I mean, you know, some people, you know, they have a thing about marriage. They say, well, I never want to be married, but I do want to be committed.
Okay.
So a commitment means that it's formal.
Yep.
You have a time and date and a place and witnesses.
Okay.
And that you have pledged yourself. You've made a vow to be together for life.
Yes.
So you made a commitment. If you want to call it marriage or not, if it's legal or not, you know, it's a commitment.
Yes.
And in life, if you want to have any integrity, you keep your commitments and you do everything you can to keep your commitments. You don't just walk away because you're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, you know, we have to take responsibility for our unhappiness and we have to do something about it. And as a therapist, one of my most frustrating things was that, you know, people were unhappy
mm-hmm.
and they would point the finger and say, I'm unhappy because of you.
Yeah, that's such an easy thing to do, isn't it, in a relationship when you feel pain, you feel like it's the other person's fault.
Right. And you know what? It is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have the ability to look in the mirror and take responsibility. And that's part of that development. part of growing up in the relationship.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
So when you apply the should I stay or should I go question to new couples or dating couples or pre-committed couples, mm-hmm. I have a very, very different position.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it pretty much goes like this. You know, if what you want is to live happily ever after with your soulmate,
yes,
it needs to be the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not working in some important way for you,
mm-hmm.
then that's an indication that it's not the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
You could try to fit the round peg in the square hole. You can try to twist yourself into making this relationship work. You could hope that it changes. Mm-hmm. You could hope that it gets better. But if we are adults, meaning that we have developed to the point where we are who we are,
mm-hmm.
and then our goal is to be with somebody who we can love as they are,
yes.
and they will love us as we are.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that it takes a lot of self-development to get to that stage? Because I know that that's the first thing, and that's what
teach. Yeah, absolutely. Self-development is part of it.
Yep.
But then there's finding the right fit.
Yes.
I mean, like just take a look at your friends, right?
Mm-hmm. So
chances are that you have met people that you become friends with that you just got along so smoothly, and it was so easy, and it was so much fun.
Yep.
Then you've had friends that were a pain in the butt.
Absolutely. I think we all have.
And so this is really no different.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dating and you're looking for somebody to be with,
yes.
you need the right fit.
Yes.
You need somebody who fits with you, who loves you as you are, who thinks your quirks are cute, who, you know, loves you in spite of your faults, who puts up with all your BS, you know, and loves you anyway. And they love you as you are.
Mm.
And be happy together as you are. When the fit is right, it is wonderful.
Yes, I can imagine.
All those people that are in a relationship and they're wondering, should I stay or should I go? Is this the right relationship for me? Well, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. And this is not working, this is not working, this is not working. He's doing this and she's doing that or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, chances are it's not a fit. If it were a fit, it would be a heck of a lot easier, and the problems would be solvable.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular things you would look out for as a therapist in terms of telling people, okay, are you guys a fit? Are you guys not a fit?
Well, yeah, that's really what conscious dating is all about.
Yep.
And so there's concepts in conscious dating that are important, and you know, one of them is, you know, like who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know. What's your vision for your life? What's your life purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your vision is what you want to create for your life, the kind of life you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to fit with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't change your life. You can't change what you want in order to be with somebody because you'll never be happy.
Yes, that's
so
true.
There are three concepts that go together. And I call them requirements, needs, and wants.
Okay. Can you explain that a little bit for us?
So if you make a list mm-hmm. of everything that you want in a relationship and a partner,
mm-hmm.
and everybody has their list, right?
Yep.
And not everything on that list is equal. Some of those things are requirements.
Yes.
They are absolutely non-negotiable. They must happen in order for the relationship to work.
Yep.
If it's missing, it won't work.
Yes.
So, for example, let's say you want a family. You want to have kids.
Yep.
And that's a requirement for you. You don't want to be with anybody that does not want kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're dating and you are and you find somebody and, you know, you really like them and maybe even you fall in love,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want kids.
Yeah.
And that's a deal breaker.
Absolutely.
And because that's your requirement.
Absolutely.
And so there are incredibly important things that are requirements to you that you absolutely must say no to anybody that does not line up with 100% of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if it's a requirement, financial responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is responsible with money. They don't gamble it away. You know, they don't waste it on impulse spending. They save it. They make agreements with you about it and keep those agreements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're responsible with money. That's a requirement. Let's say another requirement is that they are non abusive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an important one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And would you suggest to people
that they treat you with respect?
Yep.
No, they don't hit you. They don't call you names.
Mm-hmm.
They don't practice physical or emotional abuse of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a requirement. And if it's violated and your requirement's not met, then you need to say no. You need to get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
take a look at your list.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that one of the best things that singles can do is just make an absolutely long list, as long as possible.
Okay.
Everything you want, everything you need. In a relationship and a partner.
Yep.
And then separate them out into requirements. And I have a test question for requirements. So ask yourself this.
Yes.
If you met somebody and you were in love,
mm-hmm.
and you really, really, really wanted it to work.
Yes.
And everything was perfect except for this. Would you leave anyway?
I see. So that tells you whether it's a requirement or not.
Right. And so you take a look at everything on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would leave anyway,
mm-hmm.
then it's a requirement.
Yep.
If it's something that you could make work, it's like, well, let's say, you know, I really want financial responsibility, but they have a gambling addiction.
Yes.
And I think I could handle it if they were involved in Gamblers Anonymous and really working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then it's not a requirement.
Yes, I see.
If you could find a way to live with it,
mm-hmm.
if you could somehow negotiate it, then it's not a requirement.
So in that case, would you suggest that the lesser requirements you have, the more likely you would find someone that you are more compatible with?
Well, no, actually.
Oh, okay.
The thing about requirements is they are what they are.
Yep.
And you don't have a million of them,
mm-hmm.
but however many you have, they are critical.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have 10 fingers.
Yes.
And every one of them is important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would not want to go through life without two of them. Okay, well, I have 8 fingers. You know, that's good enough.
Yeah.
No, you want all 10 fingers.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So your vision is inside you. It already is.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose is inside you. It already is. Your requirements are inside you. They already are, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick is to identify what they are. And so that is what the Conscious Dating Program is all about. I mean, that part of it anyway, is to get very, very clear about who you are and what you want and how to get what you want and
mm-hmm.
what are all the requirements. If one is missing, the relationship won't work. So it was very, very important. And so next up is needs.
Yes.
So you have that long list. You identify what the requirements are.
Uh-huh.
So let's say you have a list of 100 things.
Yes.
Let's say, you know, 12 of them pass the requirements test.
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay, so now you have, if my math is correct, you have 88 things left.
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay, so now you're looking to identify needs. And there are two kinds of needs that are important in a relationship. They are emotional needs and mm-hmm. functional needs.
Okay.
So emotional needs are what you need to feel loved.
Yes.
And we want to feel loved.
Yes.
And the relationship's not going to work for us if we don't feel love.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have emotional needs that we bring into a relationship.
Yep.
And then functional needs are what you need just for your life to be okay. You know, you need your bills paid. You
yes.
need food on the table.
Yes.
You need the doors locked at night. Otherwise, you're not, you know, comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you need the bills paid on time so the power stays on.
Mm-hmm.
You need the cabinet doors open so that when you are walking around the kitchen at night, you don't injure yourself.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's, you have lots and lots of functional needs, and the measurement of a need, you know it's a need if it raises a problem or an issue for you every time it occurs or doesn't occur. Right. Every time.
Yes.
So if every time you get paid, you spend half your paycheck at the bar drinking and gambling and on women, mm-hmm. it's going to be a problem for me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to leave you because of it, because it's not a requirement.
Yep.
But it's going to be a problem, and we're going to have words, and we're going to have an argument.
Yep.
And it raises an issue for me that I'm not comfortable with.
Yes.
So it's a need if it raises a problem for you every time it occurs.
I see.
And the thing about needs and requirements especially is they are all valid. They are all valid, 100%
all valid.
Of them.
Mm-hmm. So let's say
you're a woman and you're with a guy,
mm-hmm.
and the guy likes blondes.
Yep.
And so every time you walk down the street and he sees a blonde, mm-hmm. he looks at the blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice him looking at the blonde. And that bothers you.
Yes.
And it bothers you every time it occurs.
Mm-hmm. That would
and
be a need.
Not a requirement. You're not going to leave him because he looks at blondes.
Yes.
However, it makes you feel unloved. It makes you feel discounted.
Yeah.
It irritates. It angers you. It raises an issue for you every time it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's related to a need of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so let's say you talk to him about it, and he says, "Oh, come on, what's your problem? Don't be ridiculous."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to actually do anything about it. It's no big deal. So don't let anybody discount your needs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And don't you discount your needs. Because all needs are valid.
Yes.
So you should,
yes.
In a good relationship, mm-hmm. we honor each other's needs. So in a good relationship, even if a guy does like blondes, he's going to make a conscious effort not to look at the blondes because he knows it bothers you.
Yes.
That's what you do in a good relationship.
I see. Yep.
Okay. So requirements are deal breakers. And the test for requirements are, if you were in love and you really, really, really wanted it to work and everything was perfect but this, would you have to leave anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you were in love and everything was perfect except they didn't want children and you want children.
Could you stay?
Yeah. Could you stay?
Yeah.
Or would you have to leave anyway?
Yeah.
And so if so, it's a requirement. It's a need if you could stay. However, it would raise a problem.
Yep.
every time it occurred.
Yep. So what was the last one?
And the last category is wants.
Wants.
And so wants are pretty easy because everything that did not qualify as a requirement or a need, then it becomes a want.
Mm.
And wants are pretty interesting. You know, wants make life enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
pleasurable. Fun.
Yes, yeah.
But wants are changeable.
And not necessary.
And, you know, like I might want to go on vacation to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a hurricane there, I'll go to Hawaii. That's okay.
Yeah.
So I might want vanilla ice cream right now.
Mm-hmm.
But once I have vanilla ice cream, tomorrow I might want or be in the mood for chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So wants have a tendency to change and get satiated.
Yes.
And there's a very interesting thing about wants.
Mm-hmm.
That you can be very, very happy in your life and in a relationship without any of your wants met.
Interesting.
And so...
Is that because you have your requirements and your needs met?
Yeah. So let me give you an example of that.
Okay, fantastic.
There was this guy that he hired me to be his relationship coach. He was single,
mm-hmm.
and he's been single for a very long time, and he really, really wanted to be with his soulmate, and he wanted to find the perfect woman for him,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted her to be very intelligent and very spiritual and very educated and very cultured,
mm-hmm.
because he was.
Yep.
But he also wanted her to have large artificial breast. And when I first started working with him, I tried to talk him out of it and say, well, you know what? The odds of finding a woman that is spiritually developed and emotionally developed and highly cultured and mm-hmm. educated, that has large artificial breast, I mean, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of unusual, don't you think?
Yeah, they're contradicting, aren't they?
And so I asked him the requirements question.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, if everything was perfect and you fell in love and you really, really, really wanted it to work, mm-hmm. but this woman did not have large artificial breast, would you leave anyway? And his answer was, well, yes, I would, because I wouldn't be sexually attracted to her.
I see. So that was a requirement for him.
Okay. So fast forward 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
he meets a woman, and he falls in love. And this woman is intelligent and educated and spiritual
mm-hmm.
and cultured, and she does not have large artificial breasts.
Ah.
And she's also very short. And she also has kind of a peasant body,
mm-hmm.
you know, not the hourglass figure that his fantasies had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He didn't care.
So what
and
do you think changed?
And they are still happily together today.
Okay. What do you think changed? Did he change his blueprint about what he required?
Well, you know, I could see it that this was more of a want.
Ah, I see.
He was talking himself into it being a requirement.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, when he got into the situation, it mm-hmm. was not a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what really matters. It's what's true and what's real,
mm-hmm.
not what you think in your head or not what you make up.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you cannot determine that until you test it out. And that, Dave, leads me to the 4 steps for conscious dating.
Ah, I'd love to hear it, the 4 steps.
So now that we've covered, you know, requirements, needs, and wants,
yep.
Let's talk about the 4 steps for
fantastic.
Conscious dating.
Fantastic.
You know, one of them is testing.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like this. It's scouting, sorting, screening, and testing.
Mm-hmm. These are the 4 steps.
Right.
Yep.
And this is the answer to probably the biggest, most common question I get from singles,
mm-hmm.
which is, how do I find my life partner?
Mm-hmm.
How do I find them? And you know, you think about it, it's an unusual question. I mean, you know, there's singles all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, you join an online matchmaking service or you just go to Starbucks, you know.
Absolutely.
There's singles all over the place.
Absolutely. You even said, I think, in one of your interviews that there is more single people now today than ever before.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but singles feel isolated and they feel like, you know, there's lots of other singles, yeah, but they're having trouble finding the right person for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the number of other singles isn't as important then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about how many singles are out there. It's about finding the one that's right for you.
Yes.
And that's a whole other issue, because sometimes I hear from singles that, you know, hey, I live out in the rural country and there's not many singles out here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how many or few singles are there. What matters is finding the right one for you.
Mm-hmm. And this is why you've created the 4 steps.
Yeah, but that's a whole other subject. Okay, so let's talk about scouting, sorting, screening, and testing.
Perfect.
So this is the answer to how do you find your soulmate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first thing you do is you have to scout, right?
Yes.
And scouting is a process of finding somebody to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that in online matchmaking. You can do that at singles events. You can do that at the post office.
Yeah.
Singles always kind of scoping out for other singles.
Mm-hmm.
And an important principle about scouting is that who you find is often determined by where you're looking.
Yes. Yes.
So if you want to find somebody that lines up with who you are, chances out, hang out in the places where you would really want to hang out, and these are your people.
Yes.
You know, it's your community. It's people like you. It's people you want to be with. It's places that you want to hang out at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
You know, I've heard women say, well, yeah, but there's mostly women over there. Hey, no, no problem, because women know men, right?
Yeah.
And women help each other out, so no problem. So scouting is a process of finding people to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Sorting.
Yep.
Sorting is a process of when you first meet somebody, you quickly determine, kind of first glance, does this have any potential for me? Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite techniques is to, you know, trot out one of your biggest requirements and measure that requirement up against this person.
Yep.
So, for example, when I was single, you know, I have some requirements, mm-hmm. but the one that was easiest for me to measure,
mm-hmm.
and the easiest litmus test for me was that I have twin boys,
mm-hmm.
and whoever I'm with has to really enjoy children.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you know? Twin boys can be a pain in the butt.
Absolutely.
You know? Not just one, there's two of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And knowing people out there, there are a lot of people who don't actually like kids. So this would be a big requirement.
Right. And so a sorting technique that I would use,
mm-hmm.
is whenever I would meet somebody, as soon as I possibly could,
mm-hmm.
I would drop the fact that I had twin boys. So let's say, for example, I'm standing in line at the Starbucks.
Yep.
And I'm talking to this nice lady in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, she's kind of cute. You know, maybe she's single.
Uh-huh.
And pretty quickly, I would look at my watch and would say, you know what? In a little while, I have to go pick up my twin boys from school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would look at her reaction.
Yeah.
And when I would do this, some women would respond like, oh, my gosh, twin boys, how fun. You're so lucky.
Uh-huh.
And so I know, okay, this is somebody who has some potential.
Yep.
And I've also done this with women where I would get the kind of reaction of, oh, twin boys, will you ever have any time for yourself? And I could tell that this woman sees children as an obstacle,
yeah.
as something that gets in the way.
A negative kind of association with them.
Yeah. So if you know what your requirements are,
mm-hmm.
and you know what your top one or two might be,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty easy to work it into the conversation and then just watch.
Yeah.
Just watch the reaction you get. It's going to be pretty clear.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
So that's what sorting basically is. It's
yeah.
sort of a short conversation. It's like 5 or 10 minutes. Really, you don't want to date somebody only to find out 2 or 3 dates later that they don't want children.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You can find that out within the first 5 or 10 minutes without even being pushy.
And you want to disqualify those ones.
Yeah, you know, just do it with a little bit of finesse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then screening is when people pass your testing,
mm-hmm.
then screening is getting to know them. Screening is collecting information.
Mm-hmm.
Screening is what you might do when you sit down and have coffee with somebody and talk for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you ask each other questions, you get to know each other. So you're collecting information here. And the important kind of information that you want to know is about your requirements.
Yes.
Okay.
And about their requirements as well, perhaps?
No, you're not worried about that right now.
Okay. Too early.
You're just worried about you just want to know about your own.
Yep.
And you are doing screening.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like an informational interview.
Yep.
And I have a concept that I like that I call screening in versus screening out.
Okay.
Now, screening in is where you give people second chances and you find a way that it might possibly work and, you know, say, well, you know, they say they don't want children now, but maybe they'll change their mind, you know, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So screening in is, you know, giving people a lot of latitude and finding a way that it could work.
Mm-hmm.
Screening out is the opposite. Screening out is finding any reason why this might not work.
Yes.
And if you find any reason, then it's an immediate no.
Right, right.
So that's screening.
Mm-hmm.
Then testing is step four. It's where you actually test out the information you get.
Ah, I see. In real life, you test the information, yeah, to see if they're telling the truth.
Yeah. And, you know, it might take a few dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly, you don't have to hang out with them for a year. You know? So, you know, conscious dating is actually, once you are aware and conscious of who you are and what you want and how to get what you want,
mm-hmm,
the process of scouting, sorting, screening, and testing, you know, goes very, very efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I mean, when I practiced it,
yep,
I must have gone... I burned out, I tell you. I've gone on so many first dates, it's not funny. You know, and I call them coffee dates, because the first thing you would do when you meet somebody online or when somebody's introduced you by a friend,
mm-hmm,
is you get together for coffee.
Yes.
And it's not really a date. It's more of an interview. Getting to know you chat.
Yes.
And on the one hand, it was frustrating that, you know, I would go on dozens of them, and it wouldn't go any further than that first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it was very efficient if in that 1 hour coffee, I could determine, you know, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I met Darlene,
yes,
you know, I've been single for 2 years. And I've gone off and on, you know, stop dating, getting tired of it, and then try it again, and then stop it and start it again, and get frustrated, and then, you know, it's not an easy road.
No.
But conscious dating really made it very, very efficient.
So you could screen out more people in the same amount of time.
So I did not get involved in relationships that weren't right for me.
Uh-huh.
I was not hanging out with anybody that, you know, was not an absolute 100% yes.
Ah.
So I learned this the hard way, by the way, because I have, you know, my relationship before that, after my second divorce,
mm-hmm,
actually I had two relationships. One was a 5-year live-in relationship, and that blew up.
Mm-hmm.
The one after that, I decided I was going to be very, very careful. And I did end up meeting somebody, and she was 80% of what I was looking for.
Uh-huh.
There was so much good there.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 months into it, I knew this was not long-term. I knew this was not 100% fit. And so...
Was it because of the 20%?
Yeah, so I tried to break it off.
Uh-huh.
And she talked me out of it.
Oh, right.
And I allowed myself to get talked out of it. Why? Probably for the same reason a lot of singles hang out in relationships that aren't right for them.
Mm-hmm.
I allowed myself to stay in it because the sex was good, because I didn't want to be single again,
mm-hmm,
because I had a companion, we had a good time together.
Yep.
But, you know, I knew it wasn't long-term. I knew I wanted to find my soulmate, and I knew as long as I was with her, I was not going to find my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
So after a year, I finally broke it off. And I swore off what I call 80% relationships.
Ah, I see.
No more 80% relationships. It's 100% or nothing.
Mm.
And so my mantra became, and you might recognize this.
Yes.
I'd rather be single than settle.
Single than settle, yeah.
I'd rather be single than settle. 100% or nothing.
Mm.
Now, and so for 2 years, you know, date after date after date after date, meaning – coffee dates, you know,
yes,
not dating people more than once.
Yes.
Coffee dates for 2 years. However, when I met Darlene, it was clear as a bell.
Because you went through all those other people to have to know and be clear about exactly what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Mm.
And You know, Dave, I don't know if I can fully put it into words, but when I met her and the fit was so right and I just knew it, you know, it was like 100% alignment. It's just like clunk.
And you guys know? Were engaged after 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, you know,
it's one of those things where you know when it's right, and you also know when it's not right. And, you know, how many times have I hung out in a relationship that I had a red flag about, or I even married somebody that I had a red flag about? You know, versus finding somebody who ends up being a true soulmate, who the fit is so good. I mean, it was to the point where I got scared. There's no problems here.
Is this real?
There's no red flags. Come on. That's impossible. There's got to be a red flag.
Have you found a red flag yet in all these years?
No. And so what I did was I called one of my mentors. And she is a woman who I greatly respect. And I think of her as probably the best relationship coach in the world.
Okay. Would you mind sharing her name?
Sure. Her name is Haiti Schleifer.
Okay.
And her website is HaitiYumi.org.
Okay, perfect.
And she's married, and she mainly works with couples. But in my opinion, she is absolutely the best relationship coach in the world. And I'm the founder of Relationship Coaching Institute. I know a whole lot of relationship coaches. And I know a whole lot of professionals. You know, I have interviewed or I have co-presented with the top experts in the field. You know, Harville Hendricks and Pat Love and Terry Wheel and, you know, you name it. You know, this woman is, to me, the guru on the mountain. So I called her up one day and I said, Haiti, I met somebody and I'm in love, but I cannot find a single red flag and I'm getting scared to death that I'm fooling myself. And, you know, what should I do?
What did she say?
And I'll never forget what she said. She said, David, stop looking for red flags. You are going to sabotage this. And so what she meant was, if there's a red flag, it'll be there. You don't have to look for it. It'll be waving in front of your face. And, you know, the trick is not to ignore it, of course. But you don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to dig deep for it. It's either there or it's not there.
I guess you got also very good at looking for red flags after the 2 years of dating so many different women that, you know, you didn't have to look very hard.
I absolutely knew what I was looking for. I absolutely knew, and I had plenty of relationship experience. And, you know, the experience of finding your soulmate, it is just unmistakable. You will know, and you will not be asking the question, should I stay or should I go?
There will be no choice.
Is this the right relationship for me? You know, the fit will be so good, everything will just work.
Yes, and because a lot of women out there feel like, you know, they don't feel like they have the time to actually meet enough people to actually go through that process that you went through in order to find their one. What kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, first of all, don't settle. Okay, don't talk yourself out of it. Okay, go after 100%. Go after 100% of what you really want. Do not settle even a little bit. And the second is to let the law of attraction work for you. And so, how do you get the law of attraction to help you? Well, one way is by getting out there and by continuing to scout and sort and screen and test. There's times that I gave up and I stopped doing it, but then I restarted again. If you're busy, then don't, you know, stop. And then when you can get back to it, go ahead. So it's an ongoing process. And the thing about the law of attraction is it also listens to the things that you're telling yourself. And this is the amazing thing. So if you're telling yourself, oh, it'll never happen, or I don't deserve it, or the right one, you know, all the good ones are taken,
mm-hmm.
you know, or dead.
Yes.
Law of attraction is going to listen to what you tell yourself.
Yep.
So if you're telling yourself that kind of stuff, the law of attraction is going to prevent you from finding your soulmate because all the good ones are taken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or whatever it is you're telling yourself. Or I'm too old, or I'm too fat, or it's too late for me, or whatever it is you're saying to yourself, the law of attraction will work against you.
Yes.
So you have to live your life. You have to live your vision, which means going after the life that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also get good at this process, right? So that you can screen and sort people out quickly so that you don't waste, you know, a 6 month with someone who you never really had a future with.
Yeah. And, you know, don't put your life on hold.
Mm.
You know, live your life to the fullest while you're dating, while you're looking for that somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I had one client who, in the process of coaching and determining what her vision for her life was, she got in touch with that she loved horses and mm-hmm. she loves riding.
Mm-hmm.
And she hadn't done that since she was a kid. But it was something she always wanted to do. It's something that she clearly saw in her vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started doing it. As an adult, finally, 40 years later,
mm-hmm.
here she was, you know, she bought a horse and she took riding lessons and she, you know, horses were in her life now.
Mm-hmm.
She was hanging out with people that had horses, including men. So that's a great illustration of don't put your life on hold, live your life to the fullest, and the law of attraction will help you
mm-hmm.
have a positive mindset.
Absolutely.
And hold out for 100%.
Absolutely.
Your soulmate, the person that you want to live happily ever after with. You know, one of the things that one of my colleagues said that really struck me is that they are looking for you at the same time that you're looking for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're the only one looking. They're looking too.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there's so many people out there looking for their soulmate and sort of confused and lost as to, you know, what to do, where to look, but they don't realize at the same time that, you know, they're looking for them as well at the same time.
Yeah, so I have a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, singles tend to think about this as a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
That finding your soulmate is a lot like finding a needle in the haystack. There's a whole barn full of hay, and this needle is so small and so tiny. How in the world are you ever going to find it?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
For sure, yep.
However, my metaphor is conscious dating is like having a magnet.
Yes, that's perfect.
And it does not make the barn any smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make any of the hay go away. However, it does make it a heck of a lot easier to find that needle.
That's perfect, because you attract your soulmate.
Yeah, and you know, you literally magnetize them, and
mm-hmm.
you work through all that hay, and you find them.
Mm.
So it took me 50 years. You know, I was 50 years old when I met Darlene.
Yep.
And it took me 2 years of being single and searching,
mm-hmm.
2 years of really swearing off, you know, 80% relationships.
Yes.
So 2 years of sifting through that hay, and I finally found her. And you know what? It was absolutely worth it.
I can tell just by your voice and just by the excitement in your voice that, you know, you guys still have that passion. And it's one of those journeys that, you know, it was worth every moment of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm. Now, I know you talk about life partner versus soulmate. Because most people were thinking, you know what, soulmate, do I even believe in a soulmate? Is it even possible? There's so many people out there. I mean, some women have, you know, had long-term relationships in the past that haven't worked out. So finding that soulmate, it seems a little out of reach. So what is your definition of life partner versus a soulmate?
Well, a life partner is somebody that you spend your life with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good, bad, and ugly.
Yep.
And you're there for each other, and you love each other, and you have companionship, and, you know, a lot of it works. And there's some parts of it that don't work, and there's some parts of it that you have to shut yourself off in order for this to work for you.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you know what? There's more good than there is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Dear Abby years ago that came up with the question, which was to answer the should I stay or should I go question.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she would say was, well, are you better off with them or without them?
Okay, yep. I see.
So I don't actually agree with that,
mm-hmm.
but that's a very life partner kind of question. Well, is your life better off with them or without them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a form of settling because, you know, this is not 100% of what I want.
Yeah,
but
totally
I don't think I can find 100%. I don't think it's possible to have 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm settling for this.
Should I compromise?
Yeah.
Yep.
But you know what? When you compromise, you never let go of what you really wanted.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
So you are always aware of what you gave up in order to be in this relationship.
And it probably drives you mad, too, the fact that you gave it up.
Yeah. And so you can grow old with somebody like that,
mm-hmm.
and have a very nice life.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good relationship. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of us, including me, want more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to live happily ever after with our soulmate. We want somebody that meets and matches us on an emotional level, a spiritual level, an intellectual level, you know, 100%.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, even though I grew up with an unhappy childhood and with parents that did not show me how to have a good relationship,
mm-hmm.
I knew it was possible because all I had to do was look around. And I saw people who were happy together who, the, you know, it seemed like they fit together so well, you can never imagine them apart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know the couples that you're talking about.
And so I've always identified those kinds of couples, and I've always said to myself, I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Including couples that work together.
Mm-hmm.
That had a great personal relationship, but they also worked together.
That's tough.
And they really enhanced each other's in terms of the business or the partnership of working together.
Yeah.
And so that's always been my dream. And so I would look at those kind of couples and I say, yeah, I want to be like that. And so I found Darlene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally found my soulmate. Finally had the kind of life and relationship of those other kinds of couples that I wanted to be like that.
Yeah.
But you know, when I met her, she was a nurse,
mm-hmm.
An RN, a registered nurse, and worked at a hospital,
mm-hmm.
Which I respected and I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I let go of my dream for working together because to me it was enough that she was service-oriented, that she was in the business of helping people.
Yes.
And that was one of my requirements, by the way,
uh-huh.
that whoever I'm with appreciates my desire to make a difference in the world and help people, and they want to help people too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter how. Teacher, nurse, counselor, doesn't matter how.
Yep.
And so she's a nurse, so she qualified with that.
Yep.
And a couple of years after we got together, she decided that she would rather work with me in my business,
mm-hmm.
of helping people with their relationships and Relationship Coaching Institute.
Yep.
And so she left the hospital, she left her nursing profession,
mm-hmm.
and now we work together.
Yeah, how do you find that? Because I know so many people, you know, I hear about it. So many people think, you know what, a man and a woman, just a couple, shouldn't work together because, you know, you get into each other's space, and especially at home as well, you know, you just sort of run into each other too much and the law of proximity kicks in. What are your thoughts on that?
I love it. You know, we share an office.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking to you from our home office, and mm-hmm. I'm looking over at her desk and her computer, and, you know, it's just a regular bedroom turned into a home office.
Okay.
I have one side, she has the other.
Mm-hmm.
I work on at my desk, she works at her desk.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that bugs me is if she comes up behind me and reads over my shoulder. You know, I hate that. But, you know, we definitely respect each other. We have a similar pattern, and we call it being tasky.
Mm-hmm.
That when we are absorbed in a task.
Yes.
You know, and our brain is concentrating on this task.
In that mode.
We don't like to be interrupted or disturbed.
No, I totally understand.
Okay. And so I will look at what she's doing,
uh-huh.
and I will gauge, is this a good time to ask her a question or interrupt her,
mm-hmm.
or is she being tasky?
Mm-hmm.
And so she does the same for me.
Yes.
You know, so if I'm just scanning through emails, then she knows, okay, this is a fine time to ask a question or interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
If she knows I'm writing something, which to me takes a tremendous amount of mental concentration,
yeah.
to create something, mm-hmm. compose something, then she knows, okay, stay away. He's being tasky.
Yes.
So, you know, we know each other really well. We know each other's needs. We know each other's buttons.
Mm-hmm.
We know each other's quirks, and we respect them.
Mm.
So, you know, we get along. I mean, you know, she appreciates my quirks. She appreciates that I don't like her standing behind me and reading over my shoulder,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she respects that. She doesn't argue with that. She doesn't minimize it and say, oh, come on, don't be ridiculous, you know.
Yes.
So,
that's important, you know, too.
So we love our life together. We love working together.
Mm-hmm.
We complement each other in our work very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a different skill set. She has a different perspective. You know, what she brings to the table and what I bring to the table, I respect what she brings to the table.
Yeah.
And she respects what I bring to the table. And together, we are so much more powerful than we could be by ourselves.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear, because so many people, men and women, just cannot work together. I think it's a very difficult skill to master. And not only do you have to balance the relationship side of it, you also have to balance the work side of everything.
Right. And, you know, in a good relationship, you honor each other's needs.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times when you will need space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, Darlene does need space. And so she has a pattern of every few hours, she will stop what she's doing, walk out of the office, and go do a chore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do the dishes or do some work out in the yard or, you know, go get the mail from the mailbox or mm-hmm. make lunch. And that's her way of taking space.
Yep.
And she needs that space.
Yep.
And so I know that's you know, I need to, you know, let her have that space.
Yeah.
And if I have a need, she, you know, I have a question or I need assistance, she's absolutely happy to put her need for space aside and be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if she has a need, you know, after I get over my initial irritation of being interrupted, I'm absolutely, you know, willing to be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for us, we really enjoy, you know, sharing our personal and professional relationship. We enjoy being together 24/7.
No, that's fantastic. That's so rare.
And the thing is, we're both adults. We're both
yep.
over 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we have this need to be symbiotic and, oh, my gosh, you know, we're teenagers and we can't live without each other.
Mm-hmm.
We are very aware we could live quite well without each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we are so much more happy with each other.
Yes.
And, you know, she was married for 24 years before we met.
Mm-hmm.
She was single for a number of years.
Yep.
And I've been married twice, and, you know, combined, my marriages are about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of us have lots of experience in marriage and relationships.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our need for, and this is a very psychological term, our need for differentiation or mm-hmm. individuation,
mm-hmm.
you know, our need to develop ourselves as individual people.
Yes.
You know, we're already developed as individual people.
Uh-huh.
So now we can come together as individual people and really, really enjoy each other.
Ah, I see.
instead of having a clash of egos.
Yes, because there
was. Remember, what underlies all relationship problems is a clash of immaturities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's so wonderful when you can get to the point of maturity and just, you know, let go of ego and be together and just let it flow.
Yes, I guess you two have both a very strong sense of identity within yourselves, that identity doesn't get blended into the relationship when you're together.
Right.
Mm.
So if you're at the point where, you know, you need to have a job away from home,
mm-hmm.
you need to have half a day away from your partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, fine. But, you know, in terms of being single and searching for the love of your life,
mm-hmm.
find somebody that fits you 100%. Mm-hmm. Don't settle for less. Keep on looking until you find that person. The key point being, you are not going to find that person if you stop looking.
That's true.
You are not going to find that person if you settle for less.
Mm. And would you say that would be the number one key to long-lasting passion?
Right.
Compatibility.
Right. See, passion is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And energy is easily blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so if energy is unblocked, then it's allowed to flow. And so if you feel safe and you feel loved, then your energy is allowed to flow and passion is allowed to flow.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, you know, here's a good test of an intimate relationship. You know, can you tell your partner anything without fear of judgment or rejection?
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I mean your deepest, darkest secret.
Yes.
Your deepest desire or fantasy that you have, you know, judged yourself as perverted because mm-hmm. you have this fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you share it with them anyway?
Yeah.
Can you share anything and everything without fear of judgment or rejection?
Mm-hmm.
And that having the freedom to do that means you are in a very, very safe environment, and then that passion can flow. And if you don't feel that you can share your deepest, darkest secrets, your deepest fantasies that you even don't allow yourself to have,
mm-hmm.
then, you know,
there's nothing unblocking you.
Well, you know, for the most part, we're doing it to ourselves.
Yep.
So take a risk. Go ahead and share that fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say, hey, honey, you know, it's not that I really want to do this, but I've always had a fantasy about, you know, having sex with two women.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you need to be able to share that kind of stuff with your partner, with the one you love the most, who loves you the most.
Yeah.
You need to be able to share anything and everything to be yourself fully, to share even the things that you deny even admitting to yourself.
Yes, yes.
And when you can, you will have an emotionally free relationship where passion can flow. And so go ahead and take a risk and try it. Go ahead and do it. And work on the relationship and work on yourself to the point where you can do that.
That's fantastic.
If your partner gets grossed out and say, women at once, you're perverted, you know, go ahead and have the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, sweetheart, you know, I am who I am, and I have these thoughts and these impulses and these feelings, and, you know, they just are, they're part of me, and I need to be able to share them with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we do with them, you know, we're adults. We don't have to actually act it out.
Yep.
But I just want to be able to share with you everything that who I am and what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what I'm fantasizing, you know, so that we can have an emotionally free relationship.
Yep.
Will you do that with me? And, you know, if you're a man and you talk like that to women,
mm-hmm.
women love that.
Yes, yes. And you have to be, you know, have that amount of, I guess, confidence inside of yourself to own yourself before you can actually do that to someone else.
Right.
Mm. That's fantastic.
And you can consciously choose to do it.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot that we can do if we just step into it and do it. Mm. We might not be evolved yet, but, you know, we call it acting as if. You say, well, if I was the best lover in the world, mm-hmm. or if I had the best wife in the world, then I would do this, or I would say this, or I would act this way. Or if I had the most passionate relationship in the world, mm-hmm. then I would do this. Well, then go ahead, and you might be surprised.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's a fantastic advice for most people out there, because most people are just living with their current situation, but they can never get outside of themselves and see a different perspective.
Right.
Mm.
That's the best way to get outside of yourself is just to make a conscious choice and do it. So it's sort of like, you know, there's a swimming pool in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know the water's cold, and you can even put your hand in it and feel how cold it is.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to just jump right in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, it's cold. Yes, it's going to be shocking when you get in there, but you can do it anyway.
Yes,
you know,
just
so
do it.
There's lots of reasons for no.
Mm-hmm.
There are always reasons for no. It's too cold. I might catch a cold. You know, I have all my clothes on. It's not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to go make dinner in 5 minutes. There's always reasons not to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually only one reason for yes.
And what is that? Is that just your desire to? Or?
Well, because you want to.
Because you want to, yeah.
Or because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can have 15 reasons not to jump in the pool. But that one reason, you know, because it'll get you out of your complacency, because it'll stretch you, because, you know, you need to do something crazy, you know,
mm-hmm.
That one reason is good enough.
Fantastic.
You know, it's not the kind of thing where you have to, you know, have more reasons for than against.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. You know, if we did that, if it was like that, then we would never do anything.
That's true.
So all you need is just one reason, because it's important or because you really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Just forget the reason not to, you know, unless there's some serious, you know, problem involved.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's taking a risk, like jumping into a swimming pool that's cold, or asking somebody out that you're attracted to,
mm-hmm.
or telling your partner your deepest fantasy that you never shared with them before,
mm-hmm.
you know, go ahead. Yes, you're risking rejection, but you're also stepping into the kind of relationship and the kind of life that you really, really want.
Oh, that's fantastic. And that's great to hear, too. I think so many people need that message now than ever before. In the state of the world, in people's relationships nowadays, people are just mostly scared, I think, than anything else.
Right.
Mm.
There's only one way out of fear, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That we have to stop holding ourselves back because of fear,
mm-hmm.
and just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like Nike says, just do it.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for your perspective and all your advice, all your tips today. I think you've just added so much more value to the world through all your work, all the work through Conscious Dating and the Relationship Institute. How can women out there get in touch with you if they want more of your information?
Well, it's very easy. You can download the Conscious Dating app for your smartphone in the App Store. You can go to ConsciousDating.com, or you can go to RelationshipCoachingInstitute.com.
Perfect, perfect. And I think a lot of women can really get a lot of value out of everything that you do, especially, you know, finding your soulmate, which is something that you're obviously passionate about.
Well, I do have a recommendation. I have a great audio program on my website at ConsciousDating.com,
mm-hmm.
called Using Conscious Dating to Find Your Soulmate.
Yep.
And it's right there on the home page down at the bottom.
Perfect.
And there's even a QR code that you can use with your smartphone to mm-hmm. open up the audio program and listen to it.
Oh, perfect.
It's Darlene and I talking about our journey to find each other mm-hmm. and talking about what a soulmate is and how to find your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a great program. And also the Conscious Dating book, of course.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Really getting a handle on scouting, sorting, screening, and testing, and who are you, and what do you want, and how do you get what you want,
mm-hmm.
and what are your requirements, needs, and wants, and your vision, and how do you discover your requirements, all of them, so that you don't choose a relationship that's doomed from the start.
Perfect. And I think that's so valuable what you're doing. Fantastic. So thank you again for your time. I know you're a busy man, so thank you. And
well, thank you, Dave. You have been a great and gracious interviewer, so thank you very much.
Thank you, and we wish you all the best.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.